I got a letter from one of our students not long ago saying that he had been studying our classes 6 hours a day sometimes on his job. And his name is Richard. Frank Husen. I did not know where he was at all in the world. You know, it doesn't tell me that. If you go down to a sermon audio at the bottom, you'll see all the different countries in the world listed where people listen to our website. And we were getting a lot of downloads in the Netherlands. Come find out, Richard is in the Netherlands. And he said, "Hello, Jim Phillips. I understand that you have it extremely busy. So I even thank you more for sending me the emails, and I cannot tell you what a blessing your sermons are in my life. It's by your sermons that I'm starting to learn Greek, and I now see clearly what hidden depths there are in the Word of God." And of course, you know that after being in a few classes. And this is the guy that's been studying some of the classes, sometimes 6 hours a day. Okay. I even share much with my friends and family and tell them also to start learning Greek. Many think it's too hard. But you encourage me to go on, and I love your methods. I always think that I just started the Bible when I heard you preach. I pray much for America. I love your country and your serious preachers. Here in the Netherlands, there are not many radical preachers. We're radical people. I'm telling you that. We preach the Bible. Okay? The focus is more on love and holy living with Jesus and that true love in my eyes. Sorry I took so much of your time, but I pray that God will bless you and your students. Greetings, Richard. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, he said. And greeting. It's good to hear things like that from all over the world. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps me in here trying to teach you the Word of God week by week. We're in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. And we've got a message tonight from the Apostle Paul to pay our taxes. All right, to pay our taxes. Now, you have to realize that taxes is tribute. Usually, the taxes in a country like in Israel at that time were tribute taxes. Because they were a conquered people, they were not a free people. Okay? In a free society, basically, it's been known for thousands of years, hundreds of years in societies that you pay taxes on your property. That goes all the way back into the time of Israel and whatever. You know, you pay taxes on your property. America, when America was founded, the way they raised taxes here in America is that they taxed the property owners and businesses. If a person made less than so much money a year, he didn't have any taxes. If he didn't have any property, he didn't pay any taxes. Simple as that. He was below the level of taxes. Two or three times in the history of America, they tried to pass income tax. Every time that they tried to pass income tax in America, they would have a constitutional convention, and they would fight over it. And every time they did it, basically they said it was unconstitutional. The present income tax that we have today was started basically in 1916. It was started to pay for the war, and they had a temporary tax back in the Civil War, right after the Civil War. And then this one was supposed to be a temporary tax also, but it was not supposed to be a tax on income at all. It was supposed to be a tax on what businesses made, how much profit they made. Well, we know what happened to us since then, don't we? Big business doesn't pay anything if we get to pay all our share. Well, taxes. Let's look at it. Dia tuto. Gar. Kai. Forus. Telete. Letrug. Leturgoi. Gar. Theu. Asen. Ace. Auto. Tuto. Proskar. prostrontes. All right. A conquered people always pay tribute to the conqueror. The vanquished always pay tribute to the conqueror. And you have to realize that that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Who was on the throne?
Caesar
was on the throne. Which one of them? Huh? Nero. Of all people. He said, just make everything all right. Go ahead and pay taxes to him. Remember when Jesus, the Pharisees were always trying to jerk him around, weren't they? And just rip him up. And catch anything that he might say incorrectly. And they brought a coin to him. Remember what he said? They said, should we pay tribute to Caesar? And he said, give me a coin. He brought the coin. He looked at the coin. And he said, what?
Whose image and superscription is this?
All right. What is this now? Whose image and subscription is this on? They said Caesar's. And he said what?
Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's.
Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. And unto God the things which are God's. All right.
And the very fact that they were using Roman currency indicated that they accepted the
power
of Rome. That's
right. Yeah. They had to accept the power of Rome. Now, we know that Jesus, from the Mount of Olives, he looked over on Jerusalem, and he knew that they would be a rebellious people because the king had come, and they rejected their king, and they murdered him. As simple as that. They called for his murder, and they demanded his murder by the hands of Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate washed his hands, we know that. Five times said that he was not guilty, tried to turn an absolute criminal loose instead of Jesus, and they wouldn't have it. They wanted the criminal, the murderer. They said, turn the murderer loose and not him. All of this took place in front of their eyes, and he told them also, he looked there and he said, how many times I would have called you like a hen calls her baby chickens, but you would not come. And he said, not many days from now, what? There won't be one stone left upon another in that city. The whole city was destroyed, except for Herod's palace on one end. That was all. That's the only thing that was left. And then a corner of the temple area, which is the Wailing Wall that we see today. Okay? Some of these tax rats got saved. Zacchaeus did, didn't he? All right, he got saved. Some of them got converted. Some of the upper echelon, even of the Pharisees, got saved. All right. Joseph of Arimathea, and of course, who was the other one in John the third chapter? Nicodemus. All right. It starts out with gar. It says dia tuto gar, but it starts out for, or that's a little conjunctive particle there, gar is. For because of this, also taxes ye pay. Look at that word, ye pay there. It comes from telio, means to fulfill. Fulfill your taxes. That's what it says, fulfill your taxes. Okay? And then it says of the real elected officials. Okay? They're servants. They are servants. That is an attic word. What does attic mean? When you look in a Greek lexicon, what does attic mean? By the way, I brought some Greek lexicon. Many of you asked me also what interlinear to get. Here's an interlinear that's from the New International Version because I got the New International Version because it's from the Nestle-Aland text, which is a lot better Greek text, okay? So if you want to go look at one of these and get one of these at Brand Bookstore or Barnes & Noble, whatever, you can get them. It's the Greek, English, Interlinear New Testament. A little personal size one, it says. And it has Greek and English Interlinear in it. And, of course, you have one. But if you want to look at some other books in the Bible, here is that. And I told you about the different Greek lexicons. Here is Bauer, Arndt, and Gingrich. This is a good one. This is a real good lexicon. It's not like Thayer. It's not like some of the others. This is an advanced lexicon, Bauer, Arndt, and Gingrich. Here is another one. Kramer. This is Kramer. This one does not cover every word in the New Testament.
but it covers very deeply different words. Where Thayer will have a paragraph like this about the word ecclesia or something, or ace, or whatever, he may have 30 pages on the same one. Okay?
Here is Moulton and Milton. All right? This is another advanced Greek lexicon that goes in deeply into the languages. These are things, if you want to play with, you can probably even look some of them up. If you want to, after class, if you want to come up and write these things down, you can. You might look them up on the internet. Many things like this, advanced studies, are actually available. Just look at them for free on the internet, okay? All right. Servants of God, they are. Attic means what? What does the term attic term mean? That's from Athens. The word is attic. It's from Athens. The original, that's what you call the dialect. So write down attic. A-T-T-I-C. And you write down beside that, you write Athens down, because you will see this in many Greek lexicons. Okay? That's the term. All right? Attic means Athens, from Athens. This word comes from laos and ergo. Laos is people and worker, people workers. Public servants is what it means, public servants. If a public official really is doing his job, he's worth his weight or his salary. In America, we had a real good, initially in America, all public servants were volunteer. They didn't get any wages. You know what? They didn't get any wages. They would go serve for a year, 2 or 3 years, and they were ready to go home. They did what they had to do up there, and they were ready to go home and go back to work. All right? That's the way it was. Now we get them in there for lifetimes, and they make fortunes, and their families become rich. And their families and everybody they know gets payoffs. Something happened in the long time between where it began and now. Public servants is what they're supposed to be, not public graft. All right, public servants for God they are. Unto this thing, ace means what? What's the grammatical idea of ace? It is a little preposition you find on page 119 in that analytical Greek lexicon. And there's quite a little bit about it. What is the grammatical idea of this? Ace. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It can mean because of, and like in Acts 2.38. Someone go to Acts 2.38 and take a look at it. We're going to look at ace right now. Ace. The Hebrew equivalent of that is what? That word right there. Et. All right? Sign of the direct object. It's a sign of direct object, but it can go forward and backwards. All right? Ace. Acts 2.38. Acts 2.38. Go there quickly. So you can see the action of this. How many of you have an interlinear? You have an interlinear bill. Okay. All right. Petros de pros autos. Peter toward them, he says to all of them, all of you repent. Plural. Ye all repent. Okay. Every one of you repent. Now they had... What?
He's a Southern Baptist, but he said you all.
Yeah, you all preach. You all repent. Okay? There is, second person plural, that's what it is. You all repent. All of you repent. Change your mind. Have a complete change of mind. A complete change of attitude and person. Because you are changed inside. When your heart gets changed, when your soul gets changed, your mind gets changed. Simple as that. Okay? All of you repent. He says, all of you repent, and each one of you, singularly, each one that has repented now, singular, let yourselves be dipped. Let yourselves, allow yourselves to be dipped upon the ento onomate, in the name of Jesus. You know, a lot of people, a lot of church, there is a Jesus name only. You know those churches? You ever heard of those? They won't be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but in the name of Jesus only. But in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, what did Jesus, what was the formula for baptism that he gave? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit means in the name of Jesus. Doesn't really matter. Because we don't have three gods, we only have one God. A lot of people, because they believe in the Trinity, they think there's three gods. There's one God. His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will only see one God, and that's Jesus. That's the physical expression of God. What we know of God is the Father. The Spirit of God calls us in conviction. The Spirit of God comes and dwells in us when we are saved, and always is with our, in our, He dwells in our soul, in our entity, in our person. Okay? All right, in the name of Jesus, upon the name of Jesus Christ, eis aphasin. Because of the sending away of your sins, that's why you're baptized, because of the sending away of your sins. Eis aphasin, in the Old Testament, when we talk about the scapegoat, they took and they confessed their sins upon the head of the scapegoat, and they took him and led him away, didn't they? That's the word term right there in the Septuagint. Eis aphasin. He is the scapegoat. He is our scapegoat. We're baptized because of Jesus, aren't we? Because we have forgiveness of sins. Of the sins of you, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift there, the doreo. Now, this is not talking about the indwelling of the Spirit of God, because it already was there. The indwelling of the Spirit of God is in you when you're born again. The gift of the Holy Spirit is in the churches. The gift of the Holy Spirit is in the churches. That is where Spirit God leads you into all truth. Like in the Old Testament, it was the Shekinah glory. That was the type of the church and the type of Christ. The same thing with that was the tabernacle, and then in the temple, the same thing, the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory came upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And it's been there ever since. Period. That's it. It's there today. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the gift that leads us into all truth. All right. Now, we're baptized because we have been forgiven, not to be forgiven. That's the difference. So it goes forward and backwards or whatever, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Okay. Eis, auto. Okay. Because of the thing. This, constantly attending, all right, present participle, active, nominative, plural, masculine, constantly attending. If they constantly work and persevere, all right? If they do this. Cindy, do you have the Amplified Bible open there someplace? Do you have it open? 13:6.
For this same reason you pay taxes. For the civil authorities are official servants under God, devoting themselves to attending to this very service.
All right. Taxes have affected people in tremendous ways through the years. Israel was a socialist theocracy to begin with. And then it became a socialist monarchy, didn't it? All right. And then, let's go over there to Egypt for a little bit. Let's go look and what in the world did Joseph do down in Egypt. What did he do down in Egypt? He made Pharaoh the richest man in the world, didn't he? He taxed them to the last dime they owned and the last piece of property. The only people in Egypt that owned one thing when Joseph got through with them were the priest, which was his family. Because he married the priest's daughter, didn't he? All right. In Egypt. Think about that for a while. 13 and verse 7. Apodote. Possum. Toss. Aphilos. Toe. Tone. Foron. Tone. Foron. Toe. Two. Teleos. Toe. Telos, toe, tone, a lot of toes in there. They got a 2 foot for the toes. Phobone, tone, phobone,
Tol, Tain, Temain, Tain, Temain. All right. Even Jesus, you have to realize, if you go back to Matthew the 17th chapter quickly, go back to Matthew the 17th chapter, verses 24 through 27. Let's look and see. There's nothing wrong with paying taxes if the people do the right thing. It's good to pay your taxes if the country is going in the right direction. If somebody's taking off and stealing everything you got, it's a little bit hard to do it, but we have to do it anyway. Now, I want you to just look at Jesus now. Okay? Matthew 17th chapter. Michelle, are you there? Matthew 17 and verse number 24. Matthew 17, 24. Hold on just a minute. Jesus was living in a time. He was born. The Jews knew exactly who he was. They knew that he was born in the right place. They knew he was born at the right time of the right family. And they fought him throughout his ministry. All of his life, when he preached his first public sermon, basically, what did they try to do to him? In Nazareth. Murder him right then. Okay, now these are the rascals. Now, all of the Jewish people had to pay a temple tax to support the priest and the Pharisees in Jerusalem. Okay? That's what they called the temple tax. It was for the upkeep of the temple and all of that. Now, that's the subject of what's going on right here. Now, those are the rats that want their money. Okay? Now, Michelle, could you read there and starting with verse number 24?
After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the tomb.
Yeah, that was what every person had to pay for the temple tax. Okay.
Tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?"
All right. Go right on.
Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes?"
Okay, hold on right there. Just hold on. Now, who is a king?
Caesar,
but any king in any country, anywhere, period. Over there in Britain, wherever it was, Greece, any place. If you were in a royal family, did you pay taxes?
No.
Now, I want you to realize who Jesus was. Who is Jesus? Is he the royal family?
Yes.
He's the king of Israel. Is he supposed to be paying taxes? No way. Who's on the throne? Esau's descendant, not Jacob's descendant, because Jesus is supposed to be on the throne, and they're supposed to be supporting him and dressing him in finery and taking care of him. He's supposed to be in Jerusalem leading the people. Okay? Now go right on ahead, Michelle.
From their own sons and from others. So others, Peter answered, then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him, that so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them to pay in my tax.
All right. He said, go out there and go fishing, and you're going to find a fish that has enough money to pay your taxes and my taxes in his belly, his stomach, his mouth, or his belly. Okay, he'd swallowed a silver shekel coin, which is quite a little bit of money. And he said, you go down there, and that shekel is going to pay for your taxes and my taxes both. All right? God, Jesus, picked his taxes out of the air and paid his taxes. There it is. He paid his taxes just like that. He made it. And that fish's belly. All right? That fish, maybe somebody dropped, one of them Pharisees might have dropped a silver coin out of his pocket going across the Sea of Galilee or on the shore of Galilee, and the fish ate it like a lure. However it happened, whether God made it in that fish's belly or however it got in that fish's belly, when Peter threw out his line, and by the way, they didn't do a whole lot of fishing with a line. That's what you call angling. They fished with nets. So Peter went out there and got his fishing pole and threw the line out there, and the Lord guided that fish to bite that line. Okay? So now he provided for the taxes. Matthew 17:24-27. So pay our taxes. That's what we're supposed to do. 13 and verse 8. You know, this is a very short chapter. We might even finish this chapter tonight. What do you think about that, Cindy? I don't think we'll do it. Let's hurry. Maiden. Look at all of the times that they're repeating for euphony. What's euphony? Good sound. This is like you're singing this language, okay? Maidene, maiden. Ophelete. A, may. Look at that. To. Alleluus. Agapon. Ho. Gar. Agapon. Ton. Heteron. Nomon. Peplerokin. All right. Penny, have you got your Bible open up there where you can read that in just a minute? Moreover, not one, nothing. Moreover, not one, nothing. Moreover, not one is may and day and hina. That's what that word is made out of. It's a triple compound. And then mayday is nothing. Not moreover, nothing. We owe in rations. He owe in rations or debt. Except, ame, the one another to love. For the loving, the other, the different other, the law has been fulfilled. All right. What do you have there, Peggy? In 7 and 8. Well, we didn't read 7, did we? Yeah, 7 and 8.
Render all men their due. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. And honor to whom honor is due. Keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow men, meeting all its requirements.
All right. Stay out of debt. Boy, that's a hard thing today, isn't it? Stay out of debt. But that is a commandment. That's one of the things that we need to understand. In the last days especially, stay out of debt. You're in debt, you're a slave, period. Simple as that. All right. Don't owe anything. The only solution to the social problems in the world today is to get saved and treat each other like you ought to. Simple as that. When you're saved, you're not going to wrangle your brother to death, are you? You shouldn't anyway. I see some that are doing that. Wranglers. All right. 13 and verse 9. 13 and verse... Yes.
Is there any... In May, it's Danny, is there any reason to write with a capital...
But it started a verse.
Some word started with a small letter.
Yes. But this is a new sentence. A new sentence. And in your Greek text, you'll see a capital letter for a new sentence. Okay? And that's why it's capitalized. Many times when you see it all capitals, that'll be a quote from the Old Testament. It'll be all quiet. And it's a quote from the Septuagint. Sometimes Paul will quote from the Septuagint, and sometimes he quotes from the Hebrew, which we have seen already. All right? 13 and verse 9. This one we have four knots in it. We have repetition, repetition, repetition. Paul is playing on words to make it sound good, and it catches people's attention. When you rhyme, like poems. Like poems. I'll never forget a poem that my uncle, they told him he had to write a poem. And so he thought up, he got an old poem and he revised it, and he said, the mule stood on the burning deck, the land he would not tread. They drew a halter around him, around his neck, and cracked him over the head, and they gave him a whooping when he did that. He got up there and quoted that in front of the school. I remember that from when I was a little old child. He told me that was my uncle, my bad Uncle Bill, the bad one, the outlaw. Okay? Now on 13 and verse 9, or 13 and verse 8 onward, we're going to have some the rules of the kingdom, the laws, the real laws of God. John 13, 34, Matthew 7 and 12 and 22, 39, Romans 13 and 10, Galatians 5, 14, James 2, 2 and 8. These are all cross-references to Exodus 20 and 13, Deuteronomy 5, 17, Leviticus 19 and verse 8, and Matthew 19 and verse 9. Now let's go and look at these four knots. Tol, gar, u. There's the first knot. And it looks just like u in English, doesn't it? You don't have to look at anything different. You don't have to even know Greek to read that one. That's u. All right? And then moi kaisis. U. Same old word again. Phonousios. That's phonousis. Phonousis. U. Kleipse. Uk. Epithymesis. Kai. A, tis, hetera, intele, in, to, logo, tuto. And then on the next page, the rest of it is, ana kafale unte. And then in brackets we have into, agapeses, ton, placeon, su, pos, siatom.
Why do you have the brackets around?
Because that probably was not in the original language. In some of the, in most of the old manuscripts, that is the reason why it's in brackets is because it wasn't really there, but in all reality is understood. So somebody probably wrote it in the text. Okay. Now, when you have if you have Textus Receptus, it's going to have all this in there without brackets. Because that's not a real good Greek text. When you have Nestle Allen or Westcott and Hort or something, you're going to see brackets. Or else it'll just have brackets with nothing in it and it'll be down at the footnote at the bottom of the page. It means really it wasn't there. But here it's probably a practical substance. It's understood. Like in John 1 and 1, remember when I showed you John 1 and 1, where it says, Kai, ho logos, ein theos, at the bottom, at the last of the verse in John 1 and 1. I said, the ho there, the definite article, is not on the second part of the sentence there, after the conjunction, but it is understood as there, because it's a practical substantive, what we call a predicate nominative, and so the same number generating case on both sides of that end is on the other side, and the linking verb and all of that. And so it's there. It's understood as there. Okay? And when the Jehovah's Witness tried to say the word was a God, that doesn't work. That does violence to the grammar and violence to the Godhead also. All right. For the knot, ye shall adultery. All right? Ye shall not fornicate. That's what the word is there. Moikuses. Moikuses. Ye shall not fornicate. Second person plural, future indicative action. You shouldn't do this. As a child of God, you shouldn't do this. As a church member, you shouldn't just go out and look how you can get into an adulterous affair. That's not what you're supposed to look forward to. Okay? And then not, you shall slaughter and murder. You don't go out trying to kill somebody every day. All right? Second person plural, future indicative, active, okay? And then not, you shall become a kleptomaniac. See that word kleptase there? That's where we get the word klepto from, kleptase. Kleptomaniac is somebody that has to steal. They just can't walk in anybody's house without stealing something. Remember I told you my bad uncle? That guy couldn't walk through your house without stealing something. After he got saved, he started giving me money. Oh, that was unusual. That man stole everything I ever had in my life. My cousin that comes, Doris, he said when he come through the house, he stealed her alarm clock. So couldn't even get up in the morning. Kleptomaniac. Couldn't walk through the house without something sticking something in your pocket. Marilyn, my wife, she said her uncle, I can't remember which one of her uncles was married to Bonnie Parker. Remember, Bonnie and Clyde? You know, he was married to her. And he said, that woman would not walk into anybody's house. She had her purse and her pockets full. She was a kleptomaniac. All right, that's where the word kleptase comes from right there. It comes from klepto. See the root of it down there? This is nominative singular masculine, first aorist participle, passive. Passive. Keep on stealing. Not keep on stealing. And not, ye shall hold upon your mind somebody else's something. Epithemia. Themesis. Epithemesis. The second person plural, future indicative, active. All right? All you think about is how I'm going to get that neighbor's car. He's got a brand new Corvette over there, and I'm going to get that Corvette. And so you just think, day and night, how in the world are you going to get that? All the time, hold it upon your mind. I had a stepdad one time that was a world-class criminal. He raised me all my formative years. His name was Dale Otto Remling. Go look him up in Google. Google him. And just see what that man did. That man wouldn't sleep at night. He was all the time trying to figure out how is he going to get somebody something. He was all the time, he'd stay up all night long figuring out. I never saw a man that worked so hard to get out of work in my life. If he'd have done one thing in his life and he was so good at everything he did, he could have been a great success. But he, epithemius, epithemesis, he held upon his mind how he's going to get something. I told you about my stepdad, that the first man my mother died after. My father got killed robbing a liquor store in Long Beach when I was 2 years old. He was also a thief. Came back from World War II. He was Patton's driver in the war and everything else, but something happened over there. When he came back, he was just not right. He just kept on pillaging and raping and stealing when he got back. And got killed doing that. My mother married this real good guy. That's the one I preached his funeral last month. And then they broke up. But ran on to this rascal. Rascal. And he was pretty good friends with my uncle, my stepdad, Jim. That was his name. And Jim got him a job with the company where he was working. My mother always had a heart murmur in her life. And he goes down there and he figures out what he's going to do. He gets a job with this guy. He's weather singing, E.L. Hurt. The real place, real time, okay, this happened. He sits up all night long in there, and I'm in the bed in there sleeping around, and he's up all night. Pretty soon, he takes off and goes to work every morning, takes his lunch pail with him and everything, comes back. And pretty soon, about 3 or 4 weeks later, this guy calls my mother on a Saturday, and she wants to. And he asked her, and he said, oh, how are you doing, Mrs. Remlin? Oh, all right. How was you? Are you recovering from your operation? What operation? Didn't you go down to UCLA and just have your heart operated on and all this kind of open heart surgery and all this? I loaned Dale $250. I haven't seen him for 2 weeks. Kleptomania. Dishonesty. Holding upon people's mind that they want to get something for nothing. And, kai, a, tase, et cetera. And if any other thing, different commandment. And the word this is summed up, headed up, that word, ana kafaleunte. Alright? Third person singular, present, indicative, passive. It's summed up. What is the word for head in Hebrew? Rosh. That's the head. Here, it's the word kafale. Head, kafale. Okay? The head. It's summed up in the this. Ye shall love the neighbor of you as yourself. All right? Now, let's go back. Cindy, are you over there and you still have that open too? 9 and verse 10. 9 and 10. Oh, this verse 9, I mean.
The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in a single command. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself.
All right. Now, if you love your neighbor as yourself, are you going to go steal from him? Are you going to go try to take his food, try to take his wife, try to steal his car, take his bowling ball, whatever? You're going to leave him alone and be glad that he's got it and be happy that he has what he has. You might even go out there and help him in his garden. You might go do something nice for him. Help him out when he needs to go carry something or whatever. Help your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Try to treat him like you would want to be treated. If you treat your neighbor like you want to be treated, boy, everybody's going to get along real good, aren't they? If you've got a good neighbor. And if you don't have a good neighbor, be thankful if you have one. And be happy if you've got a good neighbor. 13 and verse 10. Hey. See there, like hey? Agape. To. Placion. Takon. Uk. Ergazete. Pleroma. Un. Nomo. Hey. Agape. All right. Matthew 7 and 12 and 22:39, John 13, 34, Romans 13 and 8, Galatians 5, 14 are cross-reference to this verse. The love the neighbor. Evil. Not. Works out. Not it works out. Filling up or fulfilled complements, therefore, the law, the love. The law, the love. Are you over there, Penny?
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 10. 13 and 10.
Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfillment of the law.
All right. What gifts do we have in the church today? There are three gifts left in the church today. Faith, hope, and what? Love. And which one's the greatest of all of this? Love. All right. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of those is love. Because when you're born again, you learn to love, don't you? James says, you're evil if you don't love. You're evil. Something's wrong with you if you don't love the brother. John the Apostle said, in 1 John, he said, how do you know that you're saved? Because what? You love the brothers. You love the brothers. You don't want to do your brother wrong, do you? When you're saved, you don't want to do your brother wrong. There's a constraint there. Even if he does you wrong sometimes, you don't want to do him back wrong. Especially in a church member, a fellow church member. That's where you have to really have a lot of patience. A lot of patience. It requires a lot of patience to work in a church. I can guarantee you that much. It takes a lot of patience. 13 and verse 11. The approach of the day of Christ. Approach of the day of Christ. Kai tuto. Eidotes. Ton. Chiron. Hote. Hora. Eide. Himas. Ex. Hypnu. Egerthesne. Neen. Dar. Angiteron. Now, when you have a double gamma there, it turns like anglos. Angiteron. Hemon. A. Soteria. A. Hote, epi tu sawman. And this, having known the season. Look at the word chiron there. Kairos. Alright, that's not chronos. The word for time is chronos. Okay, chronos, that's where we get the word chronography. We get chronograph and all that stuff. It's a measure of time. This is a season. The season. The Lord said in the last days, when we're in the last days, what is the first tree basically blooming in the spring? Almonds. Almond trees. Like an almond tree. By the way, what was Aaron's rod made out of? An almond branch. An almond branch. All right. And did remember when that dead almond branch bloomed? Also, and that Aaron's rod is also in the Ark of the Covenant. Okay.
Now, how did we know that it was an almond branch?
It was.
Yeah,
the Bible says it.
Does it?
Yes. And it was an almond branch, okay? And it bloomed. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. It's a sign of the resurrection also. God has power over the resurrection. The almond, the Feast of First Fruits in the Bible is a feast of the resurrection. By the way, the Jews don't celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. That's the Feast of the Resurrection. Who was the final resurrection? Jesus. All right. All right. And this, having known the season, that hour now ye, out of sleep, hypno, all right, out of a hypnotic trance. The world holds us into a hypnotic trance. You know, there's all kinds of advertisement on television. Did you know that? And the advertisement on television is usually that reached an audience that's 6 years old. That's really about the mentality of a six-year-old. They will reach you, and little kids. I remember when Dakota, when she watched television, she said, "Dad, Dad, this can help you. I saw this thing on television that can help you." That's an advertisement. You know, when they had the movie theaters, they used to sell popcorn and candy and soda pop and all that kind of stuff with subliminal advertisements. You don't know it, but they were hypnotizing you. And another thing, it's when you go into a used car salesman or a new car salesman, how many of you have ever been strong-armed on that? All of these things are a type of hypnosis. All of these sales gimmicks are a type of hypnosis. They keep repeating over and over and over again until they get your confidence that you really need this. All right? You know, they made subliminal advertisement illegal, didn't they? That people didn't even know. Just one little frame, they would put a popcorn in there, and when it went by, unless they stopped it, you never know that popcorn was there. And the bonbons, or whatever they had, and the soda pop, and the hot dogs. You never know they're hypnotic. All right, that's what it's talking about, a hypnotic trance. To be raised up now. For nearer of us the final salvation than when we believed. All right, than when we believed. Michelle, are you over there in your translation there? 13 and verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11.
And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed.
All right. Wake up from your hypnotic trance. The world has hypnotized so many people today that they don't want to turn loose of the world. That's why they don't get saved, huh? They don't want to give up all of the pleasures of the world. They're in a hypnotic trance. And everybody's out there, and even after we're saved, sometimes the world would hypnotize us with the lust of the flesh and pride. All of the things that happened in the Garden of Eden, remember? All of the same desires are in the world today that were in there, in the Garden of Eden. 13 and verse 12. How many have we got left? 12, 13, 14. We have got 14. I don't know whether we can go that far or not. Cindy, do you think we can go that far or not?
No.
Okay. 13 and verse 12, I'm going to turn you loose. hey, nix, pro ek coxin, hey, day, emera, egg, geken, apo, to, netha, un, ta, erga, to, skotus, in the so metha, day, ta, hopla, to, photos. 1 Corinthians 7:27, 10 and verse 11, James 5 and 8, 1 Peter 4 and 2, 7, 2 Peter 3, 9 and 11, 1 John 2, 8 and 2, 18, Revelation 1 and 3 and 22 and verse 10, Hebrews 10, 25, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 and 5 and 11, 2 Corinthians 6 and 7 and 10 and 4, and 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. The night is blazing a trail, slashing its way through. All right? The, moreover, day has drawn near. Let us throw away, therefore, the works of the darkness, and let us dress up in the weapons of light. That's where we finish. Let us dress up in the weapons of light. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, tells us about that. 6 and verse 10 onward. Tells us that we're supposed to put on the full armor of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. This world has got a lot of darts. This world has got a lot of evil things out there that can injure us. Can injure our spiritual welfare. Can injure our lives. Our future. The world is constantly after you. And the old devil is not going to drop behind and just go out when you've been born again. He's not going to leave you alone. Did the devil leave old Job alone? Well, I always know where the devil is. He's right behind me, nipping my heels. I know where he is all the time. Well, we're going to start back at 13 and verse 12 next week. We've tried.
How did you pronounce that last word?
The last word,
photos.
Photos. Photos. That's where we get a word photography. Yeah. That is, the word in English is Frank. The name Frank means light. It comes from the word phos in Greek. Photios is one of my friends' name, Photios, and his name is Frank. And the name Francis is the feminine name, is Francis, which means light, and Frank is the masculine name for light. Okay, did you like that little thing? All right, we'll start back there. And this is February the 1st, isn't it? Boy, February the 1st. Last year flew by so fast I thought it was a day. And January, I don't know what happened to it. I jumped over that January. It's gone. Up and flown. Well, thank you for your attention, your kind attention. Go out and do something eternal. And let's... Brother Corey, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, please, brother?